We're in Psalm 1 this morning, being a person who is blessed. And the interesting thing about Psalm 1 is that it's the what? Psalm 1, out of 150 psalms, Psalm 1 is what? It's the first one. It's the first chapter of the book. It's the first hymn in the hymnal. It is the first thing that the author who composed the order wants to convey to us concerning how we should sing to God and how God should speak to us. And it is an amazing psalm. It's so short. It's only six verses, but it says so much. And so when we talk about being a person who is blessed from Psalm 1, here's how I'd like to begin this morning. If I can just grab your attention for a sec. You have your Bibles open. We're ready. Let me ask you this question. You will stay healthier and you will stay stronger physically if you blank. Write down on your sermon outline. You will stay stronger and healthier physically if you blank. Come up with some suggestions. Just write them down. So you will stay stronger and healthier physically if you... You probably know. I'm thinking the number one answer might be if you eat better. Eat healthier. Some of you may say exercise regularly, but you will stay stronger and healthier physically if you... Okay, number two. You will stay stronger and healthier financially if you... Okay, just write it down. Just write it down. Okay? You will stay stronger and healthier emotionally. So number one, stronger and healthier physically. Stronger and healthier financially. I put a video this week up that I found. It was a one-page book called Don't Buy Things You Can't Afford. And the author of the book was counseling a couple who were mired in incredible credit card debt, who had incredible problems overspending. And he said, well, try my book. It's only one page long. It's called Don't Buy Things You Can't Afford. And so the couple said, I don't understand that concept. What if I want something, but I don't have the money? Can I still buy it? No. Don't buy things you can't afford. And then they said, well, what if I really want it, but don't have the money right now, but think maybe somewhere down the road I'll have the money for it? Can I still buy it? No. And so it was just, when common sense suddenly becomes comedy, you know we're in trouble. Here we go. You will stay stronger and healthier emotionally if you... What would you say? You will stay stronger and healthier physically if you... You will stay stronger and healthier financially if you... You'll stay stronger and healthier emotionally if you... It's funny, I heard a friend say, if you want to reduce a lot of the stress in your life, just obey the rules of the road. Don't speed. You know, use your signal. It's maybe because he was a passenger in my car, he was hinting, but I don't know. But here, what's the next one? What's the one I left off? You will be healthier, you'll be stronger and healthier spiritually. Well, that's the hard one, isn't it? Just as there are God-given principles for physical, financial, and emotional health, so too there are God-given principles for spiritual health. If you keep them, you'll enjoy the benefits. Violate them, and you will pay the penalty. That's just a simple truth. And here's the interesting thing. Psalm 1 this morning contains some of the greatest principles on spiritual health, and it simply is a reminder that God wants to bless you. And so here's what we want to do this morning. It's just a very simple message, but number one, because God wants to bless you, God cares about your actions. Okay? God will bless you if you do the thing God wants you to do. Psalm 1 verse 1, we just read it. In your Bible, you should have it there. Blessed is the man. Notice the actions. God cares about your actions. If you want to be blessed by God, then you need to change the way that you act. If you change the way that you act, God will bless you. Notice what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not. And notice the three actions here. every aspect of life, walking, standing, sitting. In other words, every activity is covered here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Now, wicked people are those who are ungodly, those who are evil, nor stands in the way of sinners. Those are lawbreakers. Those are people who just do what they want. But then it says, sits in the seat of scoffers. Scoffers are those, it's the word mocker is used sometimes. Those who scorn the righteous. If ever there was an age where it's wrong to be a Christian, isn't this the age? Was that? There we go. Isn't this the age? There. Hold on a sec. Let's try that. There, how's that? So, if ever there was an age when we see people who don't love God but are giving out free advice, I was on this bike ride yesterday and they had a stop and I picked up my little thing of potatoes that had salt on them and I had some fruit and some other things just to get energy back. And I'm standing there and there's a lady sharing with everyone the wonderful power of meditation. And she just was openly telling everybody the secret to world peace. And I thought, very interesting. But the thing that concerns me not is just people who don't think biblically, but people who openly mock. It's very interesting the stuff that is happening in our culture. And here's the whole thing. God cares about your actions. And all I want to say is this. If you want to be blessed by God, you need to change the way you act. And part of it is how we seek to surround ourselves with people. So in other words, people who are ungodly, be careful of their influence on you. People who openly sin, people who don't care about their lifestyle, people who want to just push the limits, be very careful how they influence you. Be very careful of those who are mockers. Don't allow them to attack you. Don't allow them to discourage you. But the other thing too, especially in raising children, is what influence are the wicked and the sinners and the scoffers having on your children, especially this one here, who walks not in the counsel. To have our children under the influence of non-believing people for 4, 6, 8 hours a day should concern us because they're not friendly to God. And we have to, as parents, I think, be praying, how do we counteract a system that wants to lead our children away from God, not to God. God cares about your actions. God wants to bless your actions. The actions that he mentions in verse 1 all deal with being influenced by those who do not love God. Number 2, he cares about your thoughts. If you want to be blessed by God, allow him to bless you through your thoughts. Notice verse 2. But, so blessed is the man who walks not, doesn't stand, doesn't sit. In other words, who separates himself from an unbelieving world. And then, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Notice that God cares. Notice that God blesses those who allow their lives, specifically their minds and their thoughts, to be changed by God's word. And notice what he says here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Number one, what he says is that, do you love my word? Is his word your delight? There are people that will not go out for dinner on a certain night of the week if they are asked because they will say, I'm sorry, that's the night that I what? Watch my show. Now, I would love to phone up somebody sometime and say, hey, how'd you like to go out for dinner tonight? Well, no, I can't. That's the night we pray together as an entire family. I don't think that would be wonderful. But notice this. Our culture has so changed us that we no longer delight in the law of the Lord. We delight in so much. We delight in sports. We delight in movies. You know, I just ask someone, just say, well, you know, what are you reading in your Bible lately? Oh, I forget. Well, hey, what date is the next Marvel movie coming out? Bingo. In fact, is it May 9th? Thanks. Appreciate that. Good. Yeah. Yep. I will not ask you a biblical question, but I appreciate that because that fits perfectly. But see, that's the whole thing. What is our delight? Is our delight our grandchild? Is our delight our job? Is our delight anything but the law of God? Isn't that, can you see how culture is changing us? Would you agree that we are now a culture of Christians that have found delight in other things and not God? No wonder in the book of Revelation, one of the things that God states is that you have forsaken your first love. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, now notice this, not only is there a love for God's word, but there is a passion for God's word. On his law, he meditates what? Day and night. Do you struggle with your thought life? Meditate day and night on God's word. Do you have trouble sleeping at night? Meditate on God's word. Do you have trouble in the morning? Do you find you're too busy during the day? When you get up in the morning, meditate on God's word. It's very interesting, but it's a cycle. I'm not happy, so I don't have time to read God's word. I'm not happy. I'm too busy, so I don't read God's word. I have stress, and I can't read God's word. It's a cycle. It's interesting. That cycle can be reversed. And the interesting thing is, there are specific passages of Scripture that I would encourage you to read. Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 6, Psalm 23, Psalm 103. There are specific passages of Scriptures. I would say to you, read these passages every night at bedtime. Turn off the news. Don't watch the news at night. It's depressing. It just causes you to lie in bed and worry. You know, I can't think of anything worse than watching a news story about people who are breaking into homes while you're sleeping in your bed and then turning off the light. I can't think of anything worse than having a child out, you know, with friends and then seeing on the news about a bunch of teens who were in a horrible fiery car crash and died. We need to rethink. Fill your life with Scripture, he says. God cares about your actions. When your actions are right, you'll be blessed. God cares about your thoughts. When you fill your life with Scripture, you will be blessed. Number three, God cares about your future. He is like a tree. Notice that this is what he says. The man who does not do certain things, the man who delights in the law of God, notice what he's like, he or she. A man or a woman who is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and it does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Here's the whole thing. You want God's blessing. Wouldn't you like to just sit there and soak in the blessings and power and presence of God? Notice what God wants to do. He will make you like a tree planted by streams of water. How many people have driven down Highway 5 South lately in the last little while? Have you seen those signs where it says government-created dust bowl, drought? Have you seen how dry it is there? This picture is of a tree planted right beside a stream. Notice this. It yields its fruit in season. The easiest way to explain that is to say that when God brings blessing into your life at the right time. He answers your prayers. He works on your behalf. Notice its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. See, God's not talking about a tree here. He's saying that you'll be like a magnificent tree. You'll have fruit. You'll have presence. You'll have life. God cares about your future. He wants to bless you, but you have to do the first two. You have to change your actions. You have to change your thoughts. And then notice this. He cares about your eternity. The wicked, verse 4 of Psalm 1, the wicked are not so, but are like a chaff that the wind drives away. And it's that idea of when you take wheat and you take off the outer shell and you throw it up in the air, it's so light that the wind just throws it everywhere. Therefore, now notice this. Notice how he focuses not just on the future life, but on eternity. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Notice, go back to verse 1. Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Okay, there's walking, there's standing, there's sitting. Now notice he just gets right to the heart here. The wicked will not even stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. God cares about your eternity, and you need to understand that if you want to see God in eternity, there has to be a change, there has to be a repentance, there has to be a desire to move towards the Christ-like things. For the Lord knows, verse 6, it says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That should be sobering. That should be a reminder that God is aware. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. That should be an encouragement. That you should realize, if you're going through a hard time right now, God knows. But if you're following Him, if you're meditating on His Word, He wants to bless you. And so how do we finish off this morning? Well, how to be blessed. How to be blessed. Well, let's go back to verse 1 again. How to be blessed. Who do you listen to? Who do you do things with? Who do you think like? All those things will affect you spiritually. The person who listens to angry, nasty talk radio on the way to work in the morning will not be influenced towards good, godly things. You'll probably be riled up about just, I'm mad. I'm not sure what I'm mad at, but I know it's somebody else's fault. Who do you listen to? Do you hang around people who are critical constantly? Do you hang around people who are just like, oh my word, just everything is wrong in life? Who do you listen to? Who do you do things with? Paul so said in Corinthians, bad company corrupts good character. Who do you think like? What are you filling your mind with? In fact, what are you filling your life with? That's really the secret to being blessed, is what are you filling your life with? Are you filling it with God's Word? On His law, he meditates how much? Day and night. I don't think any of us are there yet. When we put God first, we will see change. And you know God is first when you have a day and night experience with Him. Not a Sunday only experience with Him. Not a when it's convenient experience. This is the whole thing. You know that you are moving towards being in the presence and power and blessing of God when God is first. What am I filling my life with? Where am I drawing my strength from? What type of fruit am I bearing? What am I living for? That's really the question that we have to ask. And that's where we're at this morning. That blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And think of that word counsel. Who are you getting counsel from? Nor stands in the way of sinners. Who are you hanging out with? Nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Interesting thing yesterday. But we always reserve, there's a loop. You can't, if you haven't been there, you can't picture it, but there's a lake with a field, and there's this beautiful loop, and we take the 6 campsites, so we kind of have control of this whole loop. And it's not a flat loop. It has a hill, so it kind of goes across, and then it goes up, then it comes back around, and it would maybe, the loop would be maybe 3 times the length of this room, and you have the campsites, and it's not super wide. But here's the interesting thing. The kids love to ride their scooters and their bikes on it. And here's the funny thing. Every year, kids want to make friends. And so soon, other kids from other campsites. This year, we had water balloons, and other kids were doing water balloon fight. But they also get on the scooters. Here's the interesting thing I noticed. Is young kids and their desire to make friends with older kids will often do whatever older kids say. So the older kids are standing at the top of this really steep part, and they're trying to convince this younger kid to go. Just go. Just go. And I felt like going over there and saying, you know what, I need to give some advice here. But I didn't, because I think it got handled okay. But if I was going to give advice, it would be this. Other kids always want you to go first when they know there's a chance that you're going to crash. Other kids always want you to be the one that shoplifts first because they know there's a chance that you might get caught. Other kids always want you to try and get drunk first because they know there's a chance that you're going to do something dumb. Other kids want to see you do things, and you need to just stop and say no. See, this is the whole thing. Walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Who's counseling you? Nor stands in the way of sinners. Who are you hanging out with? Nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Who are you allowing to inform you and shape your opinions? If you're blessed, here's what you need to do. Let me just read again. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Huge, huge difference. But his delight. Want me to evaluate your spiritual life? May I offer a way that you can evaluate your spiritual life? Look at who you hang around with. Look at what you're allowing to influence your thoughts. And then number three, what is your true delight in life? Really, seriously. What's your delight? What do you live for? What's your passion? Because the blessed person, his delight, her delight, their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Sounds fanatical, doesn't it? But it's amazing if you are truly hungry for change, what a change it can make. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Thank you that you love us and care for us. Thank you that you are willing to show us a prescribed path to be blessed, to see things happen in our lives emotionally, financially, physically, spiritually. Thank you that you have given us very clear instructions on how to see change start in our lives. And Father, quite often it begins by evaluating what we're eating. Do you want to be stronger and healthier physically? Change the way you eat. Do you want to be stronger and healthier spiritually? Change what goes into your soul. Lord, help us to understand that simple lesson. And so, Lord, right now, before the worship team comes back up, right now, what decision will we make? What actions will we change? What thoughts will we seek to improve? How seriously will we take your promise to want to bless us? So, Lord, right now, help us to make a decision. May we choose to accept Christ. May we choose to follow Christ. Maybe we need to, right now, just repent and say, enough. Enough of this futile living. Enough of doing what's wrong. I know what's wrong, and I will cease. Lord, help us, I pray, to put Christ first. In your Son's name we ask. Amen.